I have fond memories of seeing SNK MVS cabinets and arcades, reading the cards for the list of games, and then jamming the Switch game button to see if it's accurate. Unico's MVSX classic system tickles my fancy in a way that modded cabinets never did, with all the benefits of an LCD instead of a CRT, and the optional stand speaks to its dramatically increased portability due to weight alone. This is just my opinion, but I know that your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki also lived in the era of SNK proliferation, and they'll opine about this too, starting right now in the show where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back again live tonight with episode number 832 of our show for this August the 16th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me tonight is Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Not joining us tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She has the night off, but her presence in the show lives on through that awesome new theme song. If you haven't heard OLR in a while, we changed some things up a few months ago. So that great new theme song by Dark Sakura. She'll be back next week with us live. But I am joined by Techmaster Loki and all those of you in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network or the Voice Geeks Network, VOG Network, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at twitch.tv/VOG Network. I just said it. Anyhow, how are you doing, Loki? You had a good week?
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah.
It is extremely hot this weekend. I think a lot of the country is going through this, especially the West Coast. But here where the show is based in Sacramento, California, I believe the temperature today was 109.
It was probably more than that. I was like 112 in the shade in my car.
Oh my gosh.
At least that's what it said. And then we had a guest appearance apparently in Northern California of a fire tornado. So
oh,
that
fun.
Was a thing.
Oh, okay.
In 2020.
What else has 2020 got for us, huh? We're already having to do this show over Discord, thanks to that whole pandemic that's going on that you might have heard of. And now we have fire tornadoes. Lovely. Yeah, the weather was really crazy today because it was actually raining. Like, we have cloud cover and it was raining, but it is still over 100 degrees outside. And I'm like, this is not. Like, usually when the clouds come in and the rain start, that means you're going to get a lower temperature. So it's weird. And, you know, I'm not going to say I know everything about meteorology. Obviously, these types of things happen, but it's just I'm not used to it living here. So, yeah, we're in a crazy heat wave right now. I almost chose to do tonight's show with the light off and just sit in the dark and apologize to the Twitch people.
We could do an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode.
Right? I could have done the episode by candlelight. I wish I thought of these things beforehand, but the truth is the light is all the way over there. It's an LED light, so it doesn't really do a lot of give off a lot of heat. Honestly, a candle probably would have given off more heat, so it's probably okay this way. It's just, you know, trying to conserve all the electricity because they're really kind of stressing to us here in California. You got to conserve electricity because some areas are having rolling blackouts. We have a government utility that runs things here in Sacramento. There's a Sacramento municipal utility. So I'm not as worried about shutoffs and things because
we never have problems, but
they have their shit together. Like you could say what you want about the government, but I've never had problems with the energy company here. So I'll actually be sad if I ever move out of city limits and have to go back to a different company. So there's that.
Now we just need a government run internet company as well. So we can get that reliable, fast internet for less money than it would cost the third parties.
Someday. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, fun fact, I recorded my whole show on a camcorder just off screen for reasons. I have a feeling I might know what those reasons might be, and I can't really tell you what they are. But hey, in a related thing, did you know that Dragon Con is going virtual this year? There's going to be a virtual Dragon Con event, so you can actually participate from home and watch different channels that will have different types of events. And the good news is that the digital media track, which is one of the tracks that I've worked with in the past, is going to be doing kind of their own like panel schedule thing like they would do during the convention, except it's going to be all virtual and it's going to be on Twitch. And I'm going to be on three of the panels over the weekend. So there, and actually one of them is during OLR. So in the great,
well, that's going to be some multitasking you're doing there.
Well, I figured in the great tradition of the past 7 years, since we've never done a show Labor Day weekend anyway, why should this year be any different? So we'll probably just not do a show that night. I don't know if Bobby's doing a show that night after all or what. I already kind of told him we probably won't, just because I'm doing a panel that starts at 6 o'clock Pacific. So. Oops.
Well, hopefully they advertise it more than Comic-Con did, because, you know, that did the same. They have the same thing with their tracks and everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was even a thing until, like, I think probably it was over.
Well, you better believe I'll be blowing shit up on Twitter, pimping my schedule. I was hoping there might be something with the video game track, too, but I wasn't reached out to, which is okay, because I know everything. I'm not saying, like, oh, they should be calling me. No, everything is crazy this year because it's virtual, and they've probably had to come up with some plan, you know, and I totally understand, and I can't wait to see everybody in person again in 2021, hopefully. I am going to be doing the stuff with the digital media track, and I'm excited about that. And I was reached out to by another track too that I've never worked with before, and I really wanted to do it, but I don't want to say what it was, because I don't want to sound disrespectful or anything, because the reality was I didn't know anything about the subject they wanted me to do. And it doesn't have to do with gaming. It doesn't have to do with broadcasting. Think really hard. For those of you that listen to Orange Entree Radio over the years, there's some other things that I do on the weekend. And I haven't done them this year because of COVID, but think really hard and you might be able to piece it together. They were really cool about it. They were like, oh, thank you for being honest. Because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, oh, sure, I'll just fake it. I'll fake it and do a good job. And we don't want to watch that panel where the person is faking it. So out of respect to the panel, I said I wasn't going to do it. So, all right. SSG 100 Matt in chat says, the food track. I knew it. I wish there was a food track. That would be awesome. I don't think there is a food track.
Now.
There should be a food track. I mean, there are food trucks that are parked near the convention, and they certainly have. Actually, I will say over the 7-8 years, I've literally lost count. I think this would have been year 8 had I gone. I guess I am going. I'm going digitally, whatever. So out of the 8 years I've been going to Dragon Con, the first couple years, I don't remember them having food so accessible in the hotels. But the hotels really wised up. They got vendors like Papa John's, which, say what you will about their pizza, but when it's drunk and they're close by, you really don't care. You know, they're within the hotels. My absolute favorite thing in the world, and this will be the last Dragon Con thing I say, and then we can get into video game news. My absolute favorite thing in the world is the alcohol ice cream. So they actually sell ice cream that has alcohol in it, and it's outstanding. And I'm sure Bobby will shout the name of the vendor, because I can't remember it off the top of my head. But they started showing up 2 years ago, and they've been there for – and I think it's brilliant, and I love their ice cream, and it's a great thing to kind of just take down with you. And I'm just eating ice cream, everybody, tee-hee. Oh, Bobby can't remember their name in the moment either. Well, that's okay. Anybody that's been to Dragon Con will know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, stay tuned for Dragon Con. Speaking of events going virtual, I want to make sure a plug goes out for this, and then we'll get into tonight's kickoff topic. So, Loki, I'll have you take care of the kickoff topic here in a moment. Summer Games Done Quick just kicked off today, and I know a lot of you guys watched that event, as well as the Awesome Games Done Quick event in January. Awesome event. It's not just a clever name. For charity. They raise a lot of money doing a lot of speed runs. And usually we're kind of sitting here just kind of like going, oh, what a great event. We watch it. We're fans. We partake. We might donate if we're able to and so forth. But very little do we actually get involved. Last year, our voiceover guy, Jason, got involved. I think it was last year. Sorry, Jason, if I'm cutting that short. It might have been 2 years ago. But last year, Jason got involved doing things on site with the Games Done Quick event. And that was really cool to hear about. And I think he came on the show at one point and was talking to us a little bit about that. This year, VOG Network's own Bobby Blackwolf on Before Us here at the Voice Geeks Network is actually going to be one of the hosts, is what they call them, announcers, voiceover folks. While the speed run for Devil May Cry 4 is going on Wednesday night at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 Pacific. I hope I got that right. Don't be mad if I'm not. Bobby Blackwolf is actually going to be the guy that reads donations now and again when the speedrunners ask him to do so. My understanding is this is a pretty tight speed run. There's probably not going to be a lot of donations and so forth that are able to be read, but I think it's really cool that Bobby's getting that opportunity to like jump in there and be in there. So I know I plan to watch just to support Bobby, but also to support the awesome charity and the speed runners that really make this event possible. And if you do decide to donate, make sure your donation isn't about Vogue Network or Bobby. You know, we can dish about that over here on Sunday night when it's over. Make sure your donation's about the speedrunner or about the charity. If you want, you can do like host choice. That's a nice little way to let Bobby have a little bit of power if you want. But yeah, don't spam chat with Vogue Network. That's silly. Don't do that stuff, please. Please make it about the charity, which is Doctors Without Borders, if you hadn't heard. And what a time to do that because, you know, even though it's looking like we will have a vaccine of some sort in 2021, fingers crossed, toes crossed, et cetera, the news is looking very good there, right? The reality is, even though our country, the U.S., will get the vaccine, Canada will get the vaccine, U.K., I'm sure, will get the vaccine, and so on and so on, many industrialized nations around the world will get the vaccine. COVID is still going to be a thing on our planet because there's going to be a lot of nations that aren't going to be able to get that vaccine for their people as fast. But an organization like Doctors Without Borders can help treat sick people and so forth in these countries. And I mean, they were on the front lines when things like Ebola and SARS and things are happening too. So it's a great charity to support because the reality is, and all the experts have said this, COVID-19 is not going away. We're not going to eradicate it from the planet. Hopefully, fingers toes crossed, we eradicate it from our nation like Ebola, right? We don't hear about that anymore, but Ebola is still a thing. You hear about a breakout now and then in some country and so forth, and that may be the story for COVID-19. So anyway, Bobby actually says this is the first year that Doctors Without Borders operated in the U.S. They were in New York a few months ago. So during when New York was the epicenter of the COVID thing. Bobby also says the time is likely to change. It was originally 10 p.m. Eastern, but now it's like 11:30 Eastern. And that just happens as, you know, I think they had a little tech hiccup this morning, and I'm sure some speed runs run longer, shorter, whatever happens there. So times are fluid. That's why my brain was going, I'm not sure this is right. Yeah, because I was hearing a couple times. That's why. All right.
Just check the website. Look at the schedule there.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's a good way to stay on top of it. And I'm sure Bobby's going to send out a tweet or something. And also, our Discord is a great place to be over at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com/Discord. We'll get you into our Discord server. That's a great place to be as well. And if you want, I'm pretty sure we'll do this as well, is while Bobby is actually doing the Games Done Quick, we'll probably host it. I haven't talked to him about this, so I don't know if this is a faux pas. But we'll probably host it so that our chat can say whatever we want about Yay Bobby and all that stuff in our chat, the Vogue Network chat. But I don't know if that might be frowned on because maybe Summer Games wants the viewers. I don't know. But as long as y'all are donating, okay, Bobby says, yes, I was going to host it. Phew. Okay. So we'll host it on the Vogue Network channel when he's going. So that'll be great. Okay, cool. And they like hosts. Yay. Because it is about the charity at the end of the day. All right. Let's get into some news. There's some big news that happened this week. This is a big one. A lot of people on social media are watching because I think we on social media are being recruited for this effort, aren't we, Loki? What's going on?
Well, of course, because they have to get all the kiddies to, you know, blindly advocate for them. But anyways, billionaire company Epic Games had made some updates to Fortnite's client in iOS and Android, and they added a direct payment option that was cheaper on those devices. So what they basically did is surpassed the normally required processes through their respective app stores, where both Apple and Google take a cut of that. That's how they make their money. And so Epic complained about it before and whined about it. And I think even if I remember correctly, like at one point they're like, well, we're not even going to put it on the Androids or the Google Play Store because we don't like that. So they had their own separate launcher, and then it was kind of a pain to get it, you know, installed on your device, or like pain for your target audience, I should
say. I believe throughout all this, separate launcher is still there.
Yeah. So now they, of course, they were integrated into those stores. And so now they added this direct pay option, which definitely goes against the, you know, rules to be on those storefronts. And so immediately, as they probably expected, because they definitely planned all this, they were booted off of the Epic Games Store, or I'm sorry, off of the iOS store and also the Google Play Store. And then, of course, they put out this ridiculous parody video of like one of the old Apple commercials, basically calling, you know, Apple this very this controlling entity for their store, which, be honest, it's their storefront. They can do whatever they want. They can make the rules. I don't necessarily like that there's not an open option, whereas on Android, if you don't want to use the Google Play Store, there's other options, but it's not necessarily as preferable, there's stuff you have to do to sideload all that.
Two things. But I just want to jump in with two things. One, yeah, the commercial was a direct parody of a 1984-style commercial that Apple did way back in the day. I don't know if it was Olympics or Super Bowl or something like that, but it was an ad that they did to try to kind of announce that, you know, Apple was coming, and it was coming for the dominant IBM machines at the time. Although I seem to recall Commodore 64 was still a thing in 84 and all this other stuff. So my history is a little blurry there, but I know it is a direct parody of an Apple Macintosh commercial, like shot for shot. Like Bobby had a whole side by side on his show that when I didn't realize how close to the original it really was until he played that shot for shot. But number two, I must admit, I expected you to come out guns a blazing on Epic's side with this, but you definitely
I'm not gonna take a side of a billionaire company. I'm sorry.
I'm a little surprised, but I'm pleasantly surprised.
Why should they get an exception to the rule when all the other smaller developers have to pay that same fee? I'm sorry. No, big company don't get special treatment. So, you know, I think it's stupid. But anyways, they're, of course, filing a lawsuit against those two companies, which is already drawn up. So obviously all this was already planned out. And of course, at the same time, they also have a hashtag that they want you to go on social media and complain to, you know, Apple and Google that, oh, you took our launcher away. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. First off, please don't do that. I mean, I would respect our listeners enough to know that they're smart enough to know not to advocate for corporations. You don't need to advocate for a company that is they're literally fighting over money when they make billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they will continue to make billions and billions and billions of dollars after all this is done too. Please do not feel the need to advocate for them. They are big boys. They can handle themselves. So it's just ridiculous to try to throw some bad press their way just to try to get their way. And what's Epic doing? They're not playing fair either. I mean, they're the ones that are paying for exclusives and stuff on their platform to try to get people to go to the Epic Game Store. Yeah, they're offering a discount for developers to go on there. That's great. If you want to take that, cool. But they're also not playing fair with other things. So it's ridiculous to think that they're like some white knight of the gaming industry. They're not. And I just think this whole thing is ridiculous.
I'm a little stunned because I find I pretty much agree with Loki and I don't have a lot to add. this is a pleasant change. I mean, I know y'all like the debate and you tune in for that. But here's the thing. I don't consider that I'm like completely against Epic in this situation. I do understand some of the concerns, but don't think for a minute that Epic isn't trying to weaponize social media for their own purposes. And I think that is shady. That is it's transparent as fuck because they had that commercial ready to go. They strong-armed this move ready to go. They had that legal paperwork ready to go. This was a calculated plan. For what? I'm going to tell you what. You know what else is ready to go? The Epic Games Store on iOS. Mark my words. Timestamp this episode. Because if Epic wins this legal thing and Apple has to allow like other competing stores or whatever on, because it's not as much in the big thing, but they do reference it like having the game store or whatever. if the courts end up siding with Epic, Epic will have their own game store up on iOS the next day. Why? Because they want to undercut Apple. And anything, and also, and even if you, and I understand there's people that are very, very pro-Apple, there's people that are very, very anti-Apple, but anything I'm saying Apple in this case also applies to Google. They are one, in this case, they are one and the same. Now, there are other things about those stores that are very much not the same, like the cloud gaming, but with this particular Fortnite case, it's really the same thing on both sides. So if the courts end up siding with Epic, the next day, the Epic Game Store is going to be available on iOS, the Epic Game Store is going to be available on Google Play, and the Epic Game Store is going to immediately undercut that 30% fee. That's going to be the very first thing that they do. Okay, fine, I understand, competition's good, but you know what Epic's going to
do? They could go ahead and do that already, though. They could literally build their own storefront on Android and just put it out there. Granted, you have to sideload it into your device, but they could literally do that. Look at the... you know, they had the Amazon storefront for a while, the Amazon App Store, mm-hmm. and not as popular, but I mean, it's a thing that they could do. I don't understand. They could already go ahead and do that. It's just they want to have like their launcher available on the Google Play Store, and they also want to not pay the fee. I'm sorry, you can't be on a store. You have to play by their rules, you know, in order to be on their storefront. That's just the way it is.
And I'm
so if you don't want to play by their rules, then you can't be on there.
I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen next after that. Because what is the other big thing in Epic's pocket right now is that they run a massively popular engine to write video games in. So how easy is it going to be for them to, in their own game publishing system, one touch, publish to the Epic Game Store on mobile devices? And now that game is available in their game store, but there'll be some type of exclusivity agreement or whatever the financial situation or whatever's going to be better. Who's got the dominating part of the market? Now who's trying to control it? And I'm telling you, this is Epic's big plan. I am telling you, this is what they want. And I don't even have to sit in the boardroom to know this. So I can understand why people want to needle Apple and Google on the way some of their stores are locked down, and especially like the cloud gaming thing, which I do think Google and Apple are going to need to – well, Google already has. I'm sorry. Apple needs to relent on the cloud gaming thing a little bit. They're going to need to treat the cloud gaming like Netflix, like Spotify, like Twitch. They don't moderate all of the content here. If you're watching on your iOS device this stream right now – Apple didn't review it. You know what I mean? And I think they're going to have to take that same approach with games. So I'm not saying like, oh gosh, the stores are perfect in this particular scenario, but I do not see this as Epic fighting for the consumer, fighting for the little guy, fighting for a freer store. Epic wants a freer market that they can take advantage of. Period. That's what
right,
they're doing.
Exactly. Just like all of the stuff that they did in, you know, to make things better against Steam. It really hasn't really done anything. All it's done is some games are now free on Epic Store once a month, and some games are only exclusively through the Epic Store, and I now have to use two different launchers to play some games. Like, I don't notice, like, they didn't change the industry. Sorry. You're not big enough to do that. You throw your money around and gets your exclusives. That's not because people wanted to come to your storefront. It's because you paid for it. It's whatever. Let them fight.
I also feel that if Epic wants to be more competitive, maybe they should like fix their own damn store first. Like, because their store is still an inferior product on PC. Sorry, I said it, and that's my opinion. And I use the Epic Game Store. Hell yeah, I cash in on those free games. But the Epic Game Store is the only place that I've been hacked. That didn't happen to me on Steam. The Epic Game Store still doesn't have achievements. The Epic Game Store is still missing the ability to pay with preloaded cards. There's still a lot of places where the Epic Game Store is really lagging behind. So there's a part of me that's like, why don't you use your resources to fix your own damn house first? Then you can, you know, kind of take on this other stuff. I don't know. And I want to be clear, because I don't want to completely sound like I'm like 100% pro the Apple and Google side of things, because I do think Apple especially is going, and I'm an Apple user. Look, if you're on the Twitch feed right now, what do I have in my, I have Apple earbuds in my phone right now, okay? There's a lot of Apple products I love. But I do think they're going a bit far with, like, the cloud gaming stuff. Like I said before, like, if all this other stuff exists, why shouldn't video games be able to be streamed through the cloud and so forth? And I do think there needs to be a better kind of line drawn with, you know what, if you sell a product directly on your site, then whatever. But if you're selling it through the store, then yes, we get to have a cut. And my examples would be Spotify, Netflix, CBS, all of those things you can go buy on the website. And I think, especially with Twitch, I think is a great example too. You can buy them on the website or you can buy them through the app. But you know what Twitch doesn't do? Twitch doesn't, and they're more expensive if you buy them in the app, of course, because, you know, they're having to pay for Apple's cut and they're passing that cost on to you. But what they don't do is they don't have a big old pop-up that comes up and says, you can get these bits cheaper if you go directly to our website by clicking here and going to do that. And I do kind of see where there's probably going to have to be a line drawn there where there can't be like a click here to be instantly taken out of the store and go around that 30% fee. I think it's going to have to be one of those things where, okay, if you do it on the website, then whatever. But if you do it from within the store, something from the store, then it's got to have that 30% fee. And I would be okay with that, quite honestly. Like, and I think that's what Epic should be happy with as well. Like, if they sell the thing on their own storefront, then whatever. And
right,
another,
because you brought the purchase to them. I don't know. And I don't see them trying to burn the bridges with Microsoft and Sony as well, or even Nintendo with their storefronts, because they all take a cut as well. I'm sure that's where the majority of their gamers are. That and PC. So, of course, these being a smaller market share on Android and iOS devices, that's probably why they're risking it there. But they sure as heck aren't going to do it at the other places, because that would just destroy them.
SSJ100 Matt says, it's an ugly pinch fight between billionaires. We're the losers because we have to watch it. Yeah, I don't know what a win looks like in this scenario. You know, again, if Epic comes out victorious in this whole thing, I'm not sure the confetti cannons should be readied, because what is that really going to mean? I just, you know.
I'm pretty sure they're not the first company to sue Apple because they don't have an open storefront to allow other.
Oh, no, I'm almost positive Spotify.
I'm pretty sure Amazon, hasn't Amazon sued them? I'm pretty sure, maybe that was over the term app store, but I'm pretty sure that there's other companies that have sued them to try to get this, you know, opened up for other companies to have their own individual storefronts, but doesn't seem to have worked so far. I mean, I don't know what they think. Sure, throw money at the problem, I guess, but
Questbuster in chat says, as a side note, last year Spotify filed an antitrust complaint against Apple, which is now part of the EU's ongoing investigation. They also mentioned the 30% cut, which they call a tax. There is that. I want to read a couple other comments here. This is important too. VG Realness in chat says, fuck Apple, fuck Google, and fuck Epic. I'm thinking of that scene. And sorry, it's going to be a Drag Race reference, Loki, but I'm thinking that scene from Untucked in season 12 where Heidi Ann Closet gets up and goes, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you. That's what VG Realness is doing right now. Fuck Apple, fuck Google, and fuck Epic.
Was that like, I can't remember which movie it was, like, fuck you, fuck you, you're cool.
I think that was this movie about waiters waiting or something like that. Anyway,
I need
to read the rest of the comment is very important. I need to read it. And VG Realness says, fuck Apple, fuck Google, fuck Epic. Rich companies whining and complaining to be more rich, making us fight their battles. Meanwhile, the cops who killed Breonna Taylor are still free. My point, there are bigger issues in life at the moment. Absolutely 100% true. It is disgusting that there have been no charges brought up against the cops who murdered Breonna Taylor. However, games sometimes, I think we can still separate that games and gaming and video games also kind of exist to give us an escape of all these shitty things that are going on in the real world. That doesn't mean to ignore it, to be ignorant of it or forget it. But for example, I know with this whole COVID-19 and in quarantine and being isolated, staying at home and all this stuff, you know, I've been battling quarantine related depression things, and video games are a really good escape from all that. At the end of the day, I can also see the point where it's like, it does. Fuck all of these companies. They're all in it for themselves. They win. We lose. What the fuck ever happens, happens. I totally get that perspective, and it's honestly kind of like where my head is at. However, I think it is kind of worth looking at what is that going to look like if the Epic wins this, and now the Epic Game Store is something that's available on iOS. Is that something that interests you? And my answer is hell no, because the Epic Game Store doesn't really interest me on the PC right now outside of the free games and all the fucking exclusives that they get, which kind of force me to buy certain things on their store, which I really don't like doing. I've bought one game on their store, and it's Tetris Effect. So, anyway. let's see. Runjun Stomp, excuse me, in chat says, I don't care what happens to Fortnite. I just want Epic Games to push Apple to change some rules, because that means cloud gaming has a better chance of happening on my iPad. And again, I'm with you where I think that's the rule that needs to change, but my gut kind of tells me it will, because it did for Netflix. It did for Spotify. It did for that email app that was recently in the news. What was it? Hey or something? I'm sorry, I forget the name, but some email app went to battle with Apple on that too. And I think ultimately that's where this ends up too. I think the cloud gaming apps will happen on iOS. Am I being stupidly optimistic? Maybe, but I just kind of think the track record is there. But I do think the storefront and who gets the 30% cut and so forth will end up being a different issue. Let's see. let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, I platinumed Persona 5 Royal after 124 hours to battle quarantine depression. Note, I do not actually have medical depression, which is a real thing. I'm just depressed as an emotion. Yes, same. I'm not saying I was diagnosed or anything like that, and I'm not here to belittle. Y'all know what I mean. Just, we've all got the feels during these events and so forth, and video games can be a great escape for that. But again, don't be ignorant to everything else going on in the world. Y'all better be figuring out how you're going to vote in November in the U.S. Y'all better figure out how you're going to be voting in November, because it sounds like they're going to try to make it as difficult as possible. So
yeah, maybe I'd care a little bit more if they said, oh, hey, we're just trying to, you know, earn some additional money so that we can donate that all to the U.S. Postal Service to keep that thing afloat. But yeah, it's just going in their pockets.
Well fucking said, to be honest. All right. Yes, if Epic said, you know what, we're doing this because we want to donate the extra money to the U.S. Postal Service, I think this we would be having a completely different discussion right now. But
honestly,
they're not.
They need to be having discussions. Like, you can't get change just by, you know, pissing somebody off and then filing a lawsuit about it. You need to, like, just partner with these guys and, like, have a discussion about what you want to do. Maybe they've tried that and it hasn't gone their way. But, like, I don't think at the end of this, I mean, like with on the Google side of things, because we've been focusing a lot on Apple, but like, I don't know, not that I'm saying that it would be advantageous for them to, for Epic to try to get, say, Fortnite on, I don't know, Stadia, but like, if that was something that they were thinking about doing, I think that kind of burned their bridge there mm-hmm. with that. I don't know. It's just, it seems kind of silly that this may not work out for them.
It might not. And I think one other thing I want to make sure we say before we get into our gaming weeks on this whole topic, because I can't totally speak for Loki, but I have an idea this is where his head is at on this as well, is that if it sounds like we're really irritated with Epic in this whole situation, like, it's not necessarily the fact that they're pushing back on Apple's rules, because people are always doing it, like I said. And when it comes to the cloud gaming issue, Spotify's done it, Netflix has done, or cloud-based services issue, Netflix done it, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's not the fact that they're making a legal issue out of it or whatever. It's the fucking propaganda and how they're trying to weaponize gamers. And Hashtag free Fortnite or whatever it is, which are not usually the most pleasant crowd on social media to begin with. And I think gamers on social media, and I'm not talking about the vast majority of people that listen to Orange Lounge Radio, because you guys have been really cool in your comments. But I think y'all know when you go into very large gaming chat rooms and you watch events and you see things on social media, you see a lot of negativity, you see a lot of anger, you see a lot of bullshit. And I think that's what's really irritating about this is that Epic is trying to weaponize that bullshit. And that's the part where I'm just like, this is so transparent. I'm like, I'm offended almost.
So would the, I mean, not to judge people, but I would assume like a lot of the Fortnite players out there are probably younger.
Mm-hmm.
Do they know what 1984 is? Do they even know who George Orwell is?
Are they still forced to read that in high school? I don't know. We had to read that in high school.
Because I can't imagine, like, you know, when you're asking them on retaliation, if, you know, was it Epic Games has defied the App Store monopoly? Okay, dude, come on.
Oh,
and is this going to fight to stop 2020 from becoming 1984? Dude, if they were talking about, like, you know, Facebook and, you know, all these other like social media platforms tracking your movements and stuff like that, I might be more on board, but like, because you can't get a few extra percentage, you know, points out of, you know, your App Store purchases, I'm sorry, that's not quite the same.
Oh, Big Brother. I love that show. Stan Janelle. SSJ 100 Matt says, ask the people dealing with crunch time working on Fortnite how much this matters to them.
Yeah. How many crunch hours did it take to put out that trailer?
That's it. Just like that. Just leave that and leave the room. That's all you need. That was fucking great. All right, let's get into other gaming news and talk. We'll see where this goes, but since it's legal, it's not going to go anywhere fast, that's for sure. So we'll move on. Let's talk about other things like how was our gaming week and what are the types of video games that we have been playing this week? Loki, how was your gaming week?
So I played a few things this week. So I played a whole ton of Orna because I took a road trip down to the Bay Area this week. To go visit my grandparents. So I wasn't driving the car this time. So I got to try to capture all of the territories between here and Santa Clara. So it was great. I got 150 to 200 new explored territories. Because Orna, unlike, you know, like Pokemon Go and Ingress and stuff, will let you play quite a bit when the car's moving. So it worked out great. So I did that. And then I played a little bit. My kids actually made me play a bit of Paper Mario and the Origami King because I had to do boss fights and stuff. So I got to play against the second boss, which is great. And what else? I think I played a little bit of Minecraft this week. I've been doing like kind of game dev tutorials most of the week. That's what I've been working on. So a little different than the usual stuff I've been messing with. I took up some new programs and stuff to learn those, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. My gaming week. So I've been playing a lot of the same olds, still playing Final Fantasy 14. A brand new content patch was released this week. The big update we've been waiting for, 5.3, just came out that actually kind of bookends the Shadowbringers expansion story. This patch was delayed a little bit because of COVID. I guess Square in Japan had some difficulty with transitioning to the work at home thing. It just set them behind schedule a little bit. So this patch has been a long time coming, but it showed up this week and it's really good. Like from a story perspective, it's really, really good and really cements the Shadowbringers story and really all of the Final Fantasy 14 expansions as just one of the best JRPG stories that's out there right now. Now, of course, there's that whole problem about the monthly fee, and I understand that's what turns people off to it. The good news is, though, for what it's worth, this patch did also make the free-to-play experience a lot more robust. You can now play the first two, and there's four altogether, Final Fantasy 14 expansions. You can play the first two for free. They let you go all the way to level 60, and basically everything with Heavensward you can do for free. Now, you can't really join free companies. You can't do things that they're worried about, gil sellers, gold sellers, whatever, exploiting free accounts. There's still a lot of that is still shut off. And so, you know, obviously at the end of the day, they want to make money. But there's still an awful lot you can do for free. However, I'm hearing that, like, if you played A Realm Reborn and then you stopped, I'm hearing some of those people are having a real hard time coming back for the free-to-play thing. I don't know all the ins and outs of how that works. or what have you. I'm just hearing it's a little bit headachey. But for people that have not played 14 at all, there is that opportunity. And Heavensward was a great story. So I think it's pretty cool. But yeah, I really enjoyed the latest patch. Obviously, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I thought it really wrapped everything up very nicely. It was very movie-like and very well done. So yeah, kudos to the Final Fantasy 14 team. They're continuing to develop a phenomenal game, that's for sure. Other games I've been playing this week, still the same old GPS stuff, like Pokemon Go. I have done so much remote raiding in Pokemon Go. I'm almost embarrassed to say how many of those stupid coins I've spent on remote raid passes. Well, it's not a crazy amount, but it's a few. Trying to get like a shiny Genesect, and I still don't have one. I did like another 5 fights today. I get a lot of like random invites. I'm very lucky. And I've been taking them up on some of them. Like if I see them pop up in time, I'll try to join in. And if I have the pass, I'll join in and do the remote raid. But I love what remote raiding's done to the game. It's made it a lot easier to get a group together to do a fight. And I hope it stays long past this COVID thing. And I think it's going to. I think they're going to cap how many people can do it, but you should still be able to get a minimal group together to take down any raid boss with those remote raid passes. And I think that's going to be a really good thing. So very cool. sorry, I'm backtracking a little bit, but this is very important. Bobby in chat says, unfortunately, on a new account, I can't use my existing account. This is about Final Fantasy 14. Once you've paid for it once, you can no longer play the free-to-play version. See, that's dumb on Square's part. And World of Warcraft doesn't do that. Theirs is a little bit stronger in that regard. So I would say the two things holding Final Fantasy 14 back right now, their archaic storefront, and this is an example of that, and their archaic server structure, which WoW is ahead of them in that regard. Those are the two like negative things I'll say about Final Fantasy 14 that I really would like to see them work on. Love the game. Love the product. They really need to work on those two things. The dumb storefront and the dumb server structure that doesn't let me play with my friends in the U.S. because they picked it at a different data center. Like, we're past that. WoW has shown that. SSG100 Matt says, Rob sent me a raid invite last night. It was close to midnight here on the East Coast. So, yeah, remote raid is great. Yeah, you can do the. I got a raid invite in Germany today that I was doing at like 10 a.m. So that was kind of fun. And it's neat because if you catch the Pokemon, it shows. Well, actually, no, my geotags disappeared. But it used to show like this Genesect is from Germany or whatever. So it's kind of fun catching them all from around the world thanks to remote passes. The other game I've been playing this week, Fall Guys, which, you know, it's free on PlayStation Plus, free with gold. And then it's also available on Steam. Alan has really gotten into Fall Guys on Steam. And I played a little bit on PlayStation 4. And I think it's great because it's that whole Battle Royale thing, but it's not a shooty, shooty, bang, bang.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. I forgot I played Fall Guys this week as well. That was something I played quite a bit of as well.
Oh, yeah? What do you think of Fall Guys?
It's all right. Sometimes it can be a little bit frustrating with the controls, but overall, it's been pretty decent. I just wish the controls are a little bit tighter so that it's not so much like I'm falling over. I mean, I get it, Fall Guys, ha. But like, I wish it wasn't that I was falling over all the time. More skill based. Like, I can actually be able to run this stuff a little bit easier. But I mean, it is what it is. It's fine. It's pretty fun.
Anyway, I don't want to duplicate myself too much because I'm pretty sure I talked about this game last week because I remember saying this game, when it comes out on the Switch, is going to be the game. And I think that's just a matter of time when that happens, and I still stand by that. But Fall Guys is fun for sure. So, No One Special 77 in chat says, seems like every Tom, Dick, and Harry plus their long-dead granny, it's quite a mouthful, is streaming Fall Guys on Twitch. From what I've seen, it looks like Mario-less party. Well, Fall Guys also, if I'm not mistaken, they did a kind of campaign with some of the big streamers on Twitch to kind of bump themselves up in the rankings. But a lot of games do that and not all of them catch on. This one caught on. And I think it's just part of, I like the fact you can play it in short, quick little matches, short little bursts. You can play it with friends. And I think it makes it an attractive game to stream, probably because it's very easy to understand what's going on. I don't always like to watch narrative streams being streamed on Twitch. And I stream a lot less of them myself. I'm not going to say I'm never going to do it, but I stream. I would probably only stream the beginning of it. I probably wouldn't stream midway because I don't like to jump into a game like watching somebody do Paper Mario. I have a lot of friends that are streaming Paper Mario. I don't want to see the game halfway through because A, it's kind of like spoiling part of the story. B, all the mechanics have already been explained, and sometimes it's hard to understand what's going on. Fall Guys, it's very easy to understand what's going on. And I think that's what makes it really lucrative to stream, for sure. So, Pele Hanamea in chat says, I got my pineapple costume in Fall Guys, so I'm good. Yeah, some of the costumes are really funny, so I need to play more to get costumes. Alan, have you got any costumes in Fall Guys? I'm waiting to see what he says from the other room.
Well, yeah, as you play.
He says, as you play.
You level up.
Uh-huh.
Even if you don't win.
As you play, you level up even if you don't win.
And you just unlock stuff.
And you just unlock stuff. So have you unlocked anything cool? He says, he's thinking.
I think I got, like, a dinosaur.
A dinosaur. Okay, that's cool. ActDev says, there's an Enter the Gungeon costume right now on PlayStation 4. Nice.
Yes, and they're also doing a Team Fortress 2 skin as well.
Yes.
I think the Scout.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Anyway, that was pretty much it for my gaming week, so had fun there. So I want to go out and do Orna and all that stuff, too. It's too hot. I haven't played Ingress in, like, the past 2 days just because of the weather. Like, it's too much. And I'm at the point where I'm like, if the other team is going to field right now, I can't be bothered. Like, it's too fun. Look, good. They want it more if they're going to play in this heat because it is insane right now. And that's kind of where I'm at with Pokemon Go. They did the Pokemon Go Community Day makeup, Pokemon Go Fest makeup was today. I didn't go outside for that. Hell no. But I did incense on the couch and I didn't catch anything that spectacular, but I tried. But I wasn't going to go outside and play. It's too hot. It's still hot. My watch says it is still 105 degrees outside, and it's not even 7 o'clock. Like, this is Phoenix-style weather going on right here. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's get into some news, some other things going on in the gaming world. So, Loki, why don't you start us off?
So, the Xbox Series X is going to be coming out later this year. So, we know now which month. That's going to be November. Now, one thing that is confirmed.
Did we ever doubt that it wasn't going to be November?
It could have been October. You never know.
All right.
So, So, anyways, it's going to be coming out, but sans Halo Infinite. Unfortunately, Halo Infinite has been delayed to 2021. I'm sure partially because of the reactions to the gameplay trailer that they had
that were less than preferred.
But they did say that there's going to be, 50 new games that are planning to launch this year across generations and they'll be optimized for Xbox Series X. And also, I think they said a total of 1,000 games across 4 generations of consoles. So lots of stuff with Games Pass and all that. So, we'll see. I'm excited about it, but, Halo Infinite not coming out, it's not a deal breaker for me. I'm not a huge Halo fan, but I would prefer that they polish it so it doesn't look like it did.
Yeah. I already kind of made my thoughts on Halo known. I am a Halo fan. I've maybe fallen out of favor a little bit. Like, it's kind of lost me a little bit with some of the newer titles. But I was a fan of the fact that they're going for a more classic-looking Halo game. I'm enticed by the fact it sounds like they might put a Battle Royale, because I think the multiplayer in Halo is a lot of fun, even if I suck at it. I think a Battle Royale-type mode could be a lot of fun. Note that was never
a Battle Royale-type mode that's in it. It's like Fall Guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. There's some mechanic-y things in Halo, too, sometimes. So we'll see. But I at the end of the day, if the game's not ready, it's not ready. And for whatever reason they pushed it back, then yeah, push it back. Take the time you need. Still, it's a pretty shocking delay. I mean, that is like Nintendo pushing back a Mario game for launch or something. Like, it's a huge title. And so it's...
Didn't they do that, though? Was Mario Odyssey originally supposed to be a launch title? Or is that not...
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. You're probably right, maybe. But they did have the Zelda. Although the Zelda came out on 2 systems, they really only advertised it for 1. The Breath of the Wild. Yeah.
Assuming that Mario Odyssey was delayed, Does anyone remember? No. Same thing when, you know, the Xbox Series X comes out. Once it comes out, no one's going to remember that it was delayed.
Yeah.
Or well, going to care.
But it was supposed to be like a big thing to get a Series X for. Yes. So I do hope Microsoft has a long game plan, or that they are adjusting their expectations for the holiday sales of the Series X accordingly. Maybe this is a blessing in disguise if there's going to be hardware manufacturing issues, although we haven't heard a lot about that or anything. So, I mean, we'll see. But I'm kind of curious to see what Xbox Series X is going to look like in that launch window. Although I'm not going to lie, I'm probably still going to get one.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine there. Hopefully there'll be other things. I know Games Pass will help.
It's exactly it.
Removing the cost of, like, say, Xbox Live Gold might even help more, but, you know, all in good time. All those announcements. We don't even know what costs yet.
Yeah, because you might ask me, why are you going to get an Xbox Series X? And the answer is Game Pass. Because there'll already be a ton of games to play.
And then I'm not going to be able to get it through the iOS store because, you know, the launcher's been taken down, and how am I going to buy my console then?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Bobby Black Wolf in chat says Animal Crossing was delayed, Smash Brothers was delayed, SG100 Matt says Metroid Prime 4 was pushed. Yes, yes, and yes, none of those games launch titles. So that's the only thing, and I'm not saying I'm like mad or anything about, no, again, if they need to take the time to get it right, take time to get it right. But it's just interesting, what's that going to do when that was the big anchor title, I kind of thought, as far as launching the system. It's just going to be interesting, and I hope Microsoft lowers their expectations accordingly. I would hate to see Microsoft write the Xbox Series X off as a failure when Halo wasn't there ready to go day one. And maybe it'll still do very well. I don't know, but we'll see. But I also think, again, if a lot of the strength of Microsoft can be measured in Game Pass and how much of that they push on PC and how much of that they push on console, whatever it is, I do think Microsoft will still make a lot of wins there. Microsoft has that flight simulator coming out this week, and that's going to be a big win for Game Pass, in my opinion, too. And I think a good reason to get Game Pass, because why pay all that money for flight simulator isn't PC Game Pass like $5 a month? Like, it's pretty cheap.
Don't know, because I think when you buy the one now, you get both. So I'm not sure if maybe that's Games Pass Ultimate. I don't know. But, I know it's less expensive because there's less games available. I kind of wish that if I bought the PC one, I could stream all my Xbox games to the PC, since there's not, you know, all of them. That would definitely sell me one.
SSG100 Matt says, I would like to think anyone coming out with new tech in 2020 has expectations tempered. At least they should. True. Pele Hanumea says, total respect to Microsoft for courage to delay Halo. That's a really well said point. Although, isn't courage an Apple word? I'm just kidding. I had to. Cheap shot. I had to take it. VG Realness says, not sure if it was already stated, but what is Sony really launching with anyways, besides Miles Morales, which is also PlayStation 4? That is a damn good question. And we don't know. And that is one that Sony, I think, should answer as well. So it could be very interesting that on both sides of the house, Microsoft and Sony, we might see, I don't want to say weak lineups, but maybe lineups different than what we've seen in the past. But I think we're also going to see a big lenience, especially on Microsoft's side, of play the games you already know the best on this new system. And I think that's going to be a huge part of Microsoft's messaging, since PlayStation's still not talking about backwards compatibility, really. We don't know. But a lot can change in the next month. But I think big moves are going to have to start happening this month. It's mid-August. So I would have thought before Labor Day was kind of like the deadline for Sony and Microsoft to lay bare what is launch day going to look like. But maybe they're going to cut it closer. I don't know. Again, to invoke Apple. Apple can do a huge fucking event and be like, there's a brand new phone in 3 days, and it'll still sell cuckoo bananas. So
that might not be a good idea in the state of our postal. Well, not necessarily the post office, but like even UPS and FedEx and all of those companies are very backlogged as far as what's being delivered. Perhaps not the best time to hold off your pre-orders, you know, or like even shipments for that stuff. In fact, we had a recent story that one of the UPS facilities in California was putting things in the pile instead of delivering them. So I don't know. I would rather we know the information sooner than later, but I know that they're waiting. They want to counter Sony on that stuff. And once again, billion-dollar companies fighting over billions of dollars.
VG Realness in chat says it seems like both launches are going to be lackluster. They should just both delay and call it a day. Since they can't seem to pick a date and price, playing this bullshit capped cat and mouse game. And SSG100 Matt piggybacks off that to say something similar to what you just said. And again, another situation where two companies are playing chicken about announcing the price. We consumers are stuck in the middle of it. So here we just... Let's bring Sony and Microsoft into the room. Guy, walk in. Okay, fuck you.
Well, also playing cat and mouse with the price of a system during the nation's greatest recession in history. I mean, or what's going to be probably the greatest recession in history.
Yeah, I don't think technically the recession hasn't hit levels of like let's say the 1930s or the last one we had in the aughts. But
by the time they announced this thing,
yeah, fair. All right, let's move on, shall we? Let's talk about a game you're not going to be able to buy on the new console, and that is Forza Horizon 3. Forza Horizon 3 is being moved to an end-of-life status, meaning it will no longer be on sale after September. So Forza Horizon 3 came out in 2016. It's done very well critically, and it's a good fucking game. I own it. I'm a fan. I love the Forza Horizon series. I think it's one of Microsoft's strongest titles, especially when it comes to exclusives. I can't fucking wait until they announce Forza 5 for the Xbox Series X, because it seems like that will happen eventually. But of course, you have
Horizon
this whole... What's that? Did I say...
Horizon 5.
You know what I meant. Forza Horizon 5 for the Series X. But of course, we have this whole interesting thing now where that same studio did so fucking well with Forza Horizon. Now they're doing Fable. So, you know, now it might kind of have to wait a little bit. But anyway, Forza Horizon 3 not going to be available anymore. And this is likely due to licensing agreements. They do have music that plays during the game and so forth. And sometimes, as opposed to patching it out, it's just easier to not sell it anymore. The same thing happened to Forza Horizon 2, by the way, which was an Xbox One launch title, if memory serves me right. I believe it was released on the 360 and the Xbox One that same holiday, and that was delisted in 2018. So it's, and that's interesting because that would be the same time frame. That would be what, about 4 years since launch. So whatever licensing agreements or whatever was in place must expire. So Horizon 3 no longer available in September. September 27th, that means all of the DLC as well. So if you want to get things like that Hot Wheels was in 3? Hot Wheels is in 3, Lego was in 4, right? So yeah. So if you want to get that stuff, you got to get it because it's going to be going away. What I think is interesting about this, now games get delisted all the time. We don't necessarily see a first-party game getting delisted like that. Oh, by the way, if you already own the game, you're going to be fine. If you need to re-download it because you own it, you're fine. If you have a disc version, you're buying it used at GameStop or whatever, you're fine, okay? It's just you can no longer buy a new copy on the marketplace. But I think what's interesting about this is that I would have considered the Horizon series one of the great things about Game Pass. And so it is interesting because I've always just assumed, oh, Game Pass is just going to have all the first-person Microsoft titles. But sometimes those titles are going to get sunsetted. And not everything first-party is available yet, and maybe some of the tricky licensing agreements are part of the reason why. So, now, for what it's worth, Forza Horizon 2, I distinctly remember, was a Games with Gold game right before it went away. So a lot of people had a chance to grab it, and so hopefully they'll do the same thing with Horizon 3 next month. It's going to have to be next month because it goes away at the end of September, but we'll see. They haven't announced that yet, but there is a sale. You can get it like 67% off, which I think, $9.99 or something like that is the price of the game right now. It's pretty cheap. It's a damn good racing game again. If you haven't tried the Horizon series, give it a go. It's not a simulator. It's an arcade style racer and it works very well. So I'm a big fan. So check that out. Let's move on with our next story. Loki.
All right. So we talked a little bit about Xbox and PlayStation both getting a lot of games that are being upgraded to next gen for free. So unfortunately, one of these games that's not going to necessarily be upgraded is Control. So Control, the original game, came out quite a while ago. And now what they're doing instead is they're only going to be upgrading the Ultimate Edition of Control. So in order to get that, you have to pay $40. It's basically kind of the sort of Game of the Year edition of Control with the DLC thrown in there. But it's going to, that version will be upgraded, but not the original version. So not only people that paid full price for that are getting a little bit penalized, especially if you bought the DLC for it as well, but in order to get it to play on the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, you have to purchase it again for $40, which is kind of ridiculous. I'm not sure why they would do that, but that's the choice that they made.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends how much they're putting into it. Because, you know, like, take a game like Saints Row the Third, right? They just recently did that whole new remaster, and you didn't get it for free, right? You had to rebuy the game. But you got a remastered product. It looks a lot different. It looks a lot cleaner and so forth. So some would argue it's worth it. So if they're going to be taking those the type of time to make those same type of changes to Control, then maybe it's a little more justified. But if it's just like, oh, it's just a port for PlayStation 5, then blah, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, to argue basically, if you're making the assets for one version of Control, it's really not going to cost you any more to upgrade both versions. I mean, that would be the logical sense, is, hey, you know what? We're going to be upgrading this so that you can play it on the next gen consoles. And on top of that, if you haven't purchased it yet, you can get it for $40. Mm-hmm. It's at a discount. That would make them kind of out to be like the good guys here, you know, offering a pretty decent deal for those who might be excited to get into that now that we've seen, you know, some next gen footage of it or something. But instead, they're paywalling it to try to, I don't see how that's going to really get people that own the original version of Control to like, oh, well, I better jump on that. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. They can definitely do that. I don't think it's a good decision, but I think really they should do both versions. If they're going to make the assets for it, they're not changing the engine it's running in. And it's the same game, just with the DLC thrown in. So if you're making the assets for this version to be upgraded anyways, why can't you do both?
I honestly feel like Control will be one of those things, and this is not to shade a game that honestly I haven't played, and I need to, because the studio always does make really good games, and Control obviously got some very good reviews. It's like on my list, but now, you know what this news tells me? This news says, oh, stop, don't bother with it now, wait for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X at this point, because you're wasting your time doing it now.
Or how about this? You know what? Oh, you want me to pay another $40 for the Ultimate Edition? No, thank you. I'll just wait for it to go down to $5 or $19.99.
That was exactly what I was going to say, is that I feel like Control on PS5 and Xbox Series X is going to be one of those things. 90 days and it'll be half off. If that. 90 days out and it'll be half off.
Just wait for a sale. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it seems like double dipping. Like, I just don't get it. Like, it would be different, like, if this was, to your example of Saints Row. Saints Row was a game that came out on PlayStation 3. They remastered everything for the PlayStation 4 version, and they put it on other systems as well. So they went in, they had to redo the whole engine, they had to upgrade all the visuals. That's different than, say, we're adding some additional features to make it look nicer on the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. They're not rebuilding the whole game from the ground up, I think. But at the same time, like, there have been other things like BioShock, that series. I want to say that they did free updates, remastered editions, if you will, for those who already bought the original ones. They didn't want to punish those people. But at the same time, they were also selling that on its own. So
you know what y'all better be ready for? You know what y'all better be ready for? The same thing's going to happen with Final Fantasy VII Remake. Mark my words, it's going to happen with Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's not going to be a free upgrade. They're going to do a new, and it'll all be timed with the exclusive window lapsing for PlayStation. So there will be an Xbox Series X release, a PlayStation 5 release. I almost said Nintendo Switch, but no. So there'll be a PlayStation 5 and maybe a PC. I don't know. But there'll be a release on all those platforms, and it'll be some type of Uber edition that has like an extra, maybe Red 13 will be playable. I don't know. But they're going to do like an extra something, something to be like, oh, it's got something new, and make people buy it again in anticipation for when the second part of the remake story comes out, whenever that ends up being. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
And that's fine. I don't know. I just, it's whatever. I mean, you know, vote with your wallet. So if you think it's if it's reasonable, say you purchase the original game and you really, really, really want to get it, you know, for the next gen system, maybe you didn't buy the DLC for it. I mean, then fine, repurchase the game. But like, if you, I would just wait. I would seriously, especially if you have already purchased the game, then you don't need to run out and purchase the game right away just to play it on another console. I'm assuming you probably have already played through the game as it is. And at that point, just wait. Just go back and play the original version again.
Then again, you're talking to somebody who bought Mass Effect 3 four times and is about ready to do a fifth time as soon as they announce that.
But that wasn't on the same console, though. That wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same console.
I mean, I don't know. It's just silly. It is silly, but once again, it is. We're in a capitalist society, so we can go ahead and they can do whatever decisions they want. And if we support it with our wallets, then they'll continue to do that. If you don't like it, then don't buy it.
I only paid full price for it once. Let's be clear. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about someone that's not going to be getting full price. That is going to be the executives at EA. So what happened is that investors actually voted down a proposal for EA to pay their executives. And this is interesting because EA is not having a bad year, notably. Video games are performing relatively strongly, and that includes EA. I mean, it might not be like Nintendo level strong, but EA is performing strongly due to the coronavirus and everything that's going on. More people are staying home and playing video games. Apex Legends is doing very well, and so on and so on. However, investors cast 171 million votes against an EA executive pay package. Apparently, 60 million votes were in favor. That's kind of interesting. I guess some of the issue that happened was that EA was rewarding executives with secondary stock awards before the first ones had been vested. So that was an all issue as well. EA apparently went, per CTW Investment Group, said EA went, quote, too far in terms of executive pay, piling on exorbitant equity awards while paying multi-million dollar bonuses following worker layoffs. And that's talking about what happened with EA Melbourne, Fire Monkeys. So very interesting. To put some of this, like to put some money numbers on this, the chief technology officer, Kenneth Moss, and chief financial officer, Blake Jorgensen, get $691,000 and change and $850,000 a year each. But they also get these equity grants worth $7.5 million and $5.5 million. That's a lot of money.
How are they going to live without all that extra money? I mean, they're going to...
What are we going to fill the money pit with?
Essentially homeless at that point.
So anyway... So EA responded to Bloomberg, a financial magazine, saying the board and compensation committee will take their feedback into account as part of our ongoing evaluation of our compensation programs. So finally, people are stepping up and saying, maybe you're making too much fucking money. So that's kind of interesting, especially I do like that it's called out that, like, you can't fucking lay off all these people in Melbourne and then take these gigantic packages.
That's Activision's job. Sorry.
And what's interesting is that that's coming from the investors of EA, not within EA. So, SSJ 100 Matt says they will have to settle for a 2020 Ferrari instead of a 2021. Boo-hoo. Phoenix 7726 says they can't get their third boat. Poor babies. Ooh. All right. Phoenix 7726 says, I'm already eating the rich. I can't handle anymore. All right, let's move on. Loki, speaking of some executive shuffling, right?
Yes. So we first have Assassin's Creed creative director who has been let go of the company, Asraf Ismail. He stepped down from his role in June after being accused of pursuing extramarital relationships with women under false pretense. Because, you know, Ubisoft was having a lot of these issues come up recently. So, of course, he has left the company because of the investigation to his misconduct, which apparently they've found out that some of that was warranted, I guess. They said, following an investigation by an external firm, it was determined that Ashraf's employment with Ubisoft had to be terminated. So basically, yeah, you know all those things that people were saying that was happening at Ubisoft? Yeah, they were happening in Ubisoft. So I expect that this won't be the last that we'll hear of people leaving that company. And completely other news, though, and not related to sexual misconduct allegations. Laszlo Jones, who is one of the developers, or the minds behind, I should say, the Grand Theft Auto series, since Grand Theft Auto 3. He also plays a fictional version of himself, kind of like almost like a Howard Stern type character on the in-game radios within the series as well. He's actually left the company as of back in April, and he's actually left to go work on some different projects as well. So he's, I believe, gone to Netflix and are developing shows for both Netflix and Disney, as well as doing consulting work for video game companies. So that's more of a positive note, but yeah, it's nice to hear people actually leaving because of opportunities.
Growth opportunities, yes. Instead of being shown the door.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So although that individual needed to be shown the door, so I'm glad to hear Ubisoft is taking the steps they need to take that we all kind of saw coming. So that's good. But yeah, this is a weird pairing to put together. Sorry, but it's executive changes at companies, I suppose. But it'll be interesting to see what Laszlo is going to be working on, especially with that, kind of resume. Grand Theft Auto 4, 5, these are huge games that made buku bucks. Could it be a Grand Theft Auto game for Netflix? Probably not, but maybe it'll be something that feels like it.
He's just probably, because it's a really huge game series. So I can imagine that, he has a lot of industry knowledge as well. And maybe whenever at this point, I'm not holding my breath or anything, they do a Grand Theft Auto 6 at some point when they're tired of re-releasing Grand Theft Auto 5 for the millionth time, then maybe they'll have him back as a guest DJ again to, reprise his role. But yeah, we'll see.
Or his cousin Laszlo will take over. Who knows? All right.
Laszlo Jones.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. We're going to go to the classic game of the week. So every week here on Orange Lounge Radio, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brats out there on the internet, you should be playing this game. Dark Sakura sadly is not here tonight. She will be back with us next week. So tonight I have picked a game for us, but Loki, I would say pay attention because I really tried to pick a game tonight and I think you will very much approve of my selection tonight. And you don't even know what it is yet because I made a boo-boo on the show roll. So I'll give you a hint, Loki. This is a game we have talked about like a million times on this show and somehow it has never been a classic game of the week.
Well, that can be a lot of things.
It can be a lot of games. This game inspired other games, and I think one of them was a classic game of the week not that long ago, and that was probably the last time this game came up. This is a game that I used to play in my junior high school PC lab on lunch, where my friends and I were trying to kill each other with nukes.
I have a feeling I know what it is.
All right. Well, if you guess Scorched Earth, that's the wrong. Sorry. Oh, darn it. Sorry. That is for later. That was the wrong footage. My bad.
That does not look like Scorched
That was Earth. Not Scorched Earth. That is something
that looks
else.
Like a junior senior video.
Yep. We'll talk about that. I just spoiled something big that's coming up later. We'll talk about that later. I fucking love live, don't you? Let's try this instead. There we go. There's Scorched Earth. I hit the wrong goddamn button. All right, there you go. Scorched Earth is the classic game of the week. So Scorched Earth is a game that came out for good old MS-DOS in 1991. The developer of this game was a guy named Wendell Hicken, and that's it. It was him. Because, in the back in the old days of gaming, games were created by one person. And this is an example of that. So this game was released shareware, meaning that you basically got the entire fucking game for free, but it just asked you to kindly pay him money, which I bet very few people did. But actually, Loki, didn't you pay for this? I thought this was one of the ones you said you did.
I don't remember. It was so long ago. I most likely did. I thought that wasn't the shareware version. Then they have some weapons locked or something like that.
That might have been the case. Like, I think some weapons. I think some of the like generation, field generation, and things like that looked a little different and so forth. So there is all of that too. So, all right. So anyhow, Scorched Earth is a turn-based artillery game. So again, it's very similar to like Worms. Worms came after this, and Worms was very inspired by a game like this. Tank Wars would be another example of an early game. I almost went with that, but the Tank Wars and Scorched Earth are really cut from the same cloth, and they're almost interchangeable, almost. But it's all about the angle and the power, and you use that to shoot your weapon and see what happens. And you can notice if you're watching on Twitch, you can see that these tanks, I think there's one human player and there's like nine fake computer players, and you'll notice they're all trying to kill each other by lobbing these weapons at each other. But the human player can actually change their weapon, so I think they're firing now like a slightly bigger missile than what the baby missiles the others are firing off. So obviously the goal is to kill the other tanks. But as you fire your weapon, you're also changing the environment, which is a good lesson about war, is that the more you fire off nukes, the more mountains you're going to destroy. So there is certainly that as well. Scorched Earth referred to itself as the mother of all games. Do you know where this comes from? It's because this game was released in 1991. That's when the Gulf War was going on. That was after Saddam Hussein said to the U.S., if they walked on Iraqi soil, it would be the mother of all battles. So that's where the name The Mother of All Games came from. And that I never knew that until I logged onto Wikipedia. How about that? Anyway, there's also environmental issues. For example, the stage they're playing on now, I believe meteors will randomly fall, or it's the lightning bolts, one of the two, will randomly fall and could affect tanks destroying. Tanks blowing up could do different things. Some of them do like elaborate fireworks shows that will kill everything. Some of them just do a little like poop, and it's gone. Or I think the beam up happens, like when I was looking at this before the show, like there's two or three different ones that just beam up. So they kind of like dig into the soil and then boop, they just beam up out of the it doesn't really hurt other people. But yeah, and sometimes seeing the elaborate ways that tanks would die is what made this game worth playing. Right, Loki?
Yeah, I liked also being able to earn money between rounds, and you get to purchase weapons with that.
Yes. And apparently you can edit the configuration files, TOC 1 CFG and TOC 2 CFG. You can edit those configuration files so that the tanks say whatever you want them to say.
Yes, you can.
Loki is very aware with this. Anyways, there's all sorts of weapons and there's shields and things get crazy. And again, if you've seen Worms, Worms was very inspired by a game like this, so you kind of know where it's going. But we need to pay respect to the games that came before it, which Scorched Earth is a great example of. You can play this with up to 10 players, so that could either be live people or computer-controlled people. So like I said, sometimes we would eat lunch in the science classroom where there were some PCs, and there would be like five of us, and the teacher didn't care. He thought it was great that he looked at it as we were learning and we weren't getting into trouble, so he loved it that we would come in his class and play these games, you know, because it's not like they're that violent. I mean, sure, the tanks explode, but it's not like you see burning bodies and things like that. It's pretty tame, all things considered. The last version of the game, 1.5, was released in 1995. You can actually download this game right now on the official site, wiccan.com. That's WHICKEN.com. And if you're willing to kick back a donation, he kind of has a pay what you want for like an all-encompassing package that allows you to modify the game to your heart's content and all of that as well. So I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah. There it is. Your classic game of the week is Scorched Earth. Other games inspired by this, not just Worms, but things like Atomic Tanks, Nasty Armored Tanks of War, X-Scorch, Scorched Tanks, Scorched 3D. Whole lot of games that were inspired by Scorched Earth. And again, Worms. I think that's the one that everybody kind of knows is Worms. So
I'm telling you, Tommy Tallarico, they need to get this on the Amico. I mean, that's a game seller or console seller right there.
Do you think, I mean, this seems like the type of thing that could be pretty easily adaptable for the Amico. I mean, if you say in television Amico three times into the mirror, Tommy Tallarico will show up and send you a tweet. So please elaborate.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for your classic game of the week. So let's go back. And of course, my chat room just froze up. Anyway, that's all right. We'll get back into some other news. So why don't we get into some rapid fire news, Loki?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of interesting mods that are on some of these games that were on the Switch, or in this case, the Wii U. So Breath of the Wild, of course, lots of mods for that because the emulation on PC is so good right now. And one of the mods that's actually been made is incredibly elaborate. So there's a mod developer, Waiku Teru, who put out a mod that adds an entire racetrack from Mario Kart 8. It looks like Luigi's racetrack. And you can actually race it. They made a mini game out of it. So you race the entire track on the Master Cycle while these obstacles kind of prevent you from finishing the race. So there's like giant boulders, flame spouts, all sorts of things. And you're supposed to race around the track to get a good time. It's just insane, the amount of effort that would have taken to put Luigi Circuit in there. But yeah, that's apparently a thing that people can do on these emulation devices, to be able to mod games in such crazy ways like this. So not sure where you can check this out. I just know that they showed it on his YouTube channel, but apparently you can, I'm sure you can get, oh, he has it through his Patreon, so you can acquire it through there, I'm assuming, if you're a backer. And then this is a game I would love to see come back. So apparently Scott Pilgrim versus the World, of course, was delisted a long time ago, back in 2014, but apparently there's talks now that the creator, Brian Lee O'Malley, has been in contact with Ubisoft, and apparently they're going to try to work out some deal with Universal Pictures to maybe bring the game back to modern consoles.
Yeah, he put out a tweet about that. Like, it was for a while, it was like, Ubisoft isn't calling. And then he put out a tweet this week that was like, they called.
Yeah, it says, P.S. Ubisoft has reached out to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love for that to come back. It was such a great game. Such great artwork in there as well. I would love to see that. So
yeah, I'd be really excited to see that too. And you know, the movie is having all this anniversary stuff going on, because I can't believe it's been 10 years since that movie came out, but
Gosh.
I know, right? We all just felt our age right there. But you know, there's like new soundtrack coming out, because like the actual film version of that song that Brie Larson sings is finally going to be out. And I know a lot of people are very excited about that. And then they had like a big Zoom thing or something. I don't know. But like a lot of the cast did like stuff recently. And, you know, if we were able to do movies and events like that right now, we'd probably be seeing a lot of cult screenings of it. I actually hosted a screening of Scott Pilgrim. It was about 2 years ago. It was a double feature here. They did Kung Fury and they did Scott Pilgrim. It was like a gamer movie night. And they actually had one of the actors from Kung Fury there, which was pretty cool. But sadly, they were trying, I can't say who, but they were trying to get one of the people from Scott Pilgrim, but it didn't end up working out with their schedule or what have you. So I would have loved that. But they still showed the movie, and it got a great response from the crowd. Like, it's one of those movies that maybe, because I don't think it did great at the box office when it first came out, but like it's one of those movies that like I think people of a certain age, or just people that love games, they really enjoy it so much that like when you get a theater full of people that like Scott Pilgrim and like video games, it's a very different experience from when I saw it in the theater the first time. So I that was fun, and I wish you know, if COVID wasn't a thing, you'd probably see a lot of anniversary screenings going on right now, but
yeah,
bummer. So all right. Phoenix 7726 in chat says the comics got color versions too, really slick. SSJ100 Matt says they were going to re-release the movie for Dolby Atmos theaters for the 10-year anniversary, but COVID. Oh, that sucks, because obviously with the chiptune sound effects and everything really cool that movie brought, that's a bummer. All right, moving on. Some other rapid-fire stories here. Commander Keen, Keen Dreams, is coming to Nintendo Switch on August 27th, 2020. Of course, this is an old throwback. This is not a new Commander Keen game. This is like a throwback title to like episode... I think this is the 4, 5, and 6 episode. I might be wrong, because I think there is a Commander Keen series already on Switch, and this one is like the next one coming out. It is coming out. Yeah, you can get the original Commander Keen and Keen Dreams for $6, and then the definitive edition is $15 for full widescreen support, 12 all-new levels, and it doubles the length of the original game, and a full music score. Well, that's pretty cool. That must mean Commander Keen did well enough. You know, I almost made that the classic game of the week this week, but then it made me think of MS-DOS games from the 90s, and I thought of Scorched Earth, and I was like, oh, we need to do that one. So, all right. Also, in the rumor department, although it's a pretty substantial rumor because it's from a picture, so it's probably happening.
It's unfortunately not.
Oh, really? It was faked?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, bummer. All right. Sorry. Well, apparently it was.
I just read about it, yeah.
All right. It was supposed to be a Virtua Fighter cabinet. Well, whoever photoshopped it did a really good job. Kudos to them. Who shot it down? Did Sega say something or Arcade 1-Up said something about it?
Arcade 1-Up did, yeah.
Ah, bummer. All right. Well, then I won't say any more because it's already been debunked. All right. Instead, why don't I mention, there was late breaking news before the show. And of course, in the moment, I can't remember.
I was going to say they posted a picture, though, of their. It was one of the people that are working on Arcade 1-Up. They did post an actual like photo of what the pinball cabinets look like.
Oh, right.
And they look pretty awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. I remember what it was that I saw floating around Twitter because it was trending on Twitter. Apparently, a listing for Zelda Skyward Sword, which was the Nintendo Wii title, not the first one was Twilight Princess, then Skyward Sword was kind of towards the end of the Wii's life cycle. A listing for that has been spotted for the Switch. So did Nintendo throw together a remaster to carry us through this holiday season, perhaps while some other games are waiting? It remains to be seen, but that is a very interesting development. If Skyward Sword is going to get a second chance I don't think it necessarily did bad on the Wii because the Wii was a huge selling console, but it came out towards the end of the Wii's life when the Wii U started kind of, for better or for worse, showed up. So I think there may be a lot of people that didn't really get to experience Skyward Sword, even though I think that game is only about 10 years old, who may get to experience all over again on Switch. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, some folks in chat are talking about movie theaters reopening since I was talking about Scott Pilgrim and so forth. Phoenix 77 says, theaters reopening. Anyone want to take bets? I'm thinking late 2021. To which Bobby,
later this month.
Well,
I think.
To which Bobby Blackwolf said, AMC theaters are opening on August 20th. Movie tickets are 15 cents. But the question is,
older movies.
Yeah, who's willing to go? We'll see. I mean, I guess it depends on where you are.
I was watching Philip DeFranco on YouTube, and one of the things that he mentioned was, so for 15 cents a ticket, you could just buy out the whole theater and go by yourself. Because it's only 30% capacity. I mean, like, how much would that really cost?
That's
like,
true. That's a good point.
Pretty cheap, so just buy all the seats.
Well, a lot of times the fine print for those deals say limit 2 per customer or something like that. So there's usually how they're going to get around it. Yep. Orange Ride in chat says drive-in movies made a comeback around here. Yeah, same. And now it's drive-in events, too. I'm hearing about, like, drive-in drag queen shows and things like that. It's very interesting. I cross my fingers and my toes. The vaccine is out for the holidays, and it works. Because I know there was the talk about the Russian vaccine, but they haven't really tested it, it sounds like. So, but anyway, hopefully they will have a tested, vetted, good, solid vaccine that science says, yes, this will help stop the spread of COVID if people get this. And then I will go to the damn movies. Yes, S-Jonehunter Matt says, until then, wear a fucking mask. Yes, yes. All right, let's move on. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, some more things you can play at home while you wait for the movie theaters to open back up.
Yes, so this week we got quite a few good things. So Microsoft Flight Simulator coming out on PC. We have Mortal Shell on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Battletoads on PC and Xbox One. Cupid Parasite on Nintendo Switch. Danganronpa 2 Goodbye Despair Anniversary Edition on iOS and Android. Okana 4 Rhythm Across the Blue on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. New Super Lucky's Tale on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. PGA Tour 2K21 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Samurai Jack Battle Through Time on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And I believe that's it.
All right, then let's take a look at Japan, and we'll look at the releases there. And since Jamie's not here tonight, I'll ask you to do Europe as well. Going over Japan and looking at the releases there, Cupid Parasite comes out on the Nintendo Switch in a regular and limited edition on the 20th of this month. I'm trying to figure out what Cupid Parasite is. It looks like it's another manga or anime-related title. A story about a Cupid who ran away from her family after a fight to become the most successful bridal advisor in the human world. One day, the heroine's boss calls her up for a job to find five hopeless guys, or parasites, in desperate need of fixing their love life, and probably their personalities in some cases. Huh. That sounds like a disaster, but all right. Anyway, on the PlayStation 4 this week in Japan, Zombie Survival Colony Builder, There Are Billions. That is the name of the game. Also, Rock of Ages gets a localized release in Japan. Greedfall also gets a release in Japan this week on the PlayStation 4. So let's go to the UK.
In the UK, we also have Microsoft Flight Simulator on PC, Pathfinder Kingmaker Deluxe Edition on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Willy Jetman Astro Monkey's Revenge Sweeper Edition. That's on PlayStation 4, and quite the name. Mr. Driller Drill Land on Nintendo Switch. PGA Tour 2K21 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. House Flipper on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Made of Skur on Xbox One. Now, that's going to be hilarious if that's a survivor horror game, because it kind of looks like that based on the screenshot. Made of Skur. Pinstripe on Nintendo Switch. Okana, Four Rhythms Across the Blue on Nintendo Switch, and that's it.
All right, let's get to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read the emails that aren't spam on the air. So our first email this night comes to us from Redertainment, who starts off saying, "Hello, peoples," and sends us a link to a story we talked about earlier in the show. "There's something about Apple's move to pull Fortnite from the App Store that doesn't make sense to me. And when I dig around a bit, it still doesn't make sense to me. Apple released a statement about their move that I'm not going to repeat here because it's a peak example of utilizing incomprehensible legalese in order to befuddle the masses. If you stare at Apple's statement long enough and reread it enough times, you get the vague impression that Epic violates Apple's rules as it related to payment. Okay, what are those rules?" And I'm going to assume before this email may have come in before Google was involved in this too, because there was about a 12-hour period where Apple pulled them and then Google pulled them, right? I'm not sure. Anyway,
yeah. It was pretty short, but it was a few hours. Yeah.
This email seems to be focusing on the Apple side of things, but I do want to clarify that. Anyway, Redertainment continues and actually links to the Apple guidelines and continues. "If you read Apple's rules as it's related to payment in section 311, you come across this line. Apps and their metadata may not include buttons, external links, or other calls to action that direct customers to purchasing mechanisms other than in-app purchase." There, that's the rule Epic appears to have violated. When Epic told users how to purchase in-game currency outside of the Fortnite iOS app and enabled users to do exactly that, they violated Apple's rules. Okay, that's simple. Why didn't Apple just say that? Why did Apple put out a statement that's filled with incomprehensible legal jargon? Why couldn't Apple explain their actions in a way that is easily understandable by humans? Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't have to pay for, insert app here, through Apple in order to use, insert Apple here, on my Apple device. And that's right, you don't. A notable example of this is Spotify. Spotify has subscription plans for its users. You cannot sign up for any of those subscription plans inside the Spotify iOS app. Is there a button inside the Spotify that takes you to where you can sign up for a subscription? No. Is there a link that can do the same? No. Does Spotify tell you what you have to go outside the app to sign up for a subscription? No. What does the Spotify app say about how to sign up for a subscription? You can't upgrade to premium in the app. We know it's not ideal. And that's it. That's why the Spotify iOS app is currently available in the App Store and Fortnite isn't. Spotify doesn't tell you that you have to go outside the app to give it money. Fortnite did. Stay care, Redertainment, sent from my iPhone. I thought I'd throw that in there. Anyway, no, I mean, and honestly, yes, you're right. And that is exactly like, and I think I kind of mentioned this before when we have the example of Twitch. Twitch will sell the bits in the app. They will also sell those same bits on their website, but they don't advertise it in the app. That's what Epic's trying to do, and Epic broke the rules. Now, you do make a good point about, or a good you raise a good question, we'll say, about why doesn't Apple just respond in plain language instead of all this legalese? I don't disagree, but my thought is, well, Epic's now made it a legal issue. So it's being responded to in legalese because anything Apple says at this point can and will be used against them in a court. So I think that's my thought why they're responding with legalese. So, but otherwise, I think you're right. Like if Epic wasn't trying to do this whole click here for a 20% off sale, it probably wouldn't be an issue.
But they did it on purpose because they wanted to make it an issue. Uh-huh. They knew what they were doing
because they want to put their own store on Apple's front.
And that's gonna probably be Exhibit A. Is that they knew what they were doing because look at this prepared video that they made because they wanted to be fancy like that. I don't know.
Yeah, Epic. Epic is not a saint in this whole thing, and that is very, very important to note. Anyway, but otherwise, like honestly, your email is a lot of the same stuff I've been thinking, and I like that you brought the receipt when it came to what the rule is that they violated. All right, moving on. We have one more email tonight, and this one is from Elliot B., who says in this email, "Hey, OLR, I made another game, and I want to share it with you all. It's a music game heavily inspired by Guitaru Man called Chiptari Woman. Since it doesn't seem like there will be an official sequel anytime soon, I decided to make my own. It was for Low Res Jam, where the maximum resolution for submissions is 64 by 64. At least they gave participants a leisurely 2.5 weeks to finish it. Here's the link, pawprints.itch.io/Chiptari Woman. I'm actually going to copy-paste that into the chat since that's a lot. And for the folks that are listening on the podcast, I imagine if you go to that itch.io store, pawprints.itch.io, you'll find it there pretty easy. I've attached a video of the first minute of gameplay, too. And finally, for a change, I was able to grab the video in time and get it loaded here so you can actually see it. So this is Chiptari Woman, created by one of our listeners, Elliot B., for the low-res jam. And I've got to say, this looks awesome. You've done a very good job. I would play this. I would likely pay money for this. I also want to know, did you do the music? Because that's really good if you did. Or did you get, like, a friend? Or did you get, like, public access, or what do you call it, free domain, public domain type stuff, or I'm curious where the music came from because it's really good. And the one of the important things that makes a music game is the music good? So, and some comments that are coming in from chat, Elliot, because I don't know if you're here live. This looks cool. Wow, this looks great. This is so cool. I want to fly through a wall and start jamming too, because that's what happened with the little guy in the minute-long teaser here. So yeah, and that's a 64 by 64 resolution. So kudos to you, Elliot B. Like, this looks awesome. So I will check this out. And all those questions I just asked are probably answered on that store page, and I probably just need to go take a look at it. In fact, I'm going to do that now. Can you see the video, Loki?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, didn't this look cool?
Yeah, so the music is done by, it's by Merkel, M-R-K-L is the artist's name.
Thank you. Okay. But yeah, that's awesome. So it is original music, though, by Merkel. So, yeah. Says, adorable pixel art and otherworldly opponent, and it works with game pads if your browser supports it. Oh, look who just popped up in chat. Elliot B's in chat. Kudos to you, my friend. This looks really good. You should, like, sell this. I don't know. Maybe you'll want to have it at a resolution that still looks retro, but like plays on phones or something. I don't know. But you're onto something here. That's for sure. So, Phoenix 7726 says Merkel, like Angela Merkel. No, it's MRKL, and it's in, they have their own itch.io storefront at MRKL.itch.io. So there you go. Kudos to you, Elliot. You know, we're in the wrong business, Loki. We need to start like a indie promotion business because we've got some great game makers we've come across over the years here at OLR, including YYR, right? And all the wonderful games he's done. And now we have Elliot B. So I want, what other indie developers are lurking out there? Pitch your games, send us emails. Why not? We love indie titles. So that's great. And Elliot B says, thanks, guys. The nice comments mean a lot to me. Well, it's well fucking done. Good for you. I'm going to play this after the show. I really am. So cool. All right. Chiptari woman. SSJ100 Matt says, I'm dropping the game link in the Discord for the podcast listeners. Ah, very good. A call for play. Elliot B says, how much will the next plug cost? Honestly, all the plugs here are free. Like, we don't really make money off OLR, so I'm not going to, we're not going to plug the same game every single week, but, you know, I want to support. Hey, you guys support us. We'll support you, especially when the games look that good. All right. Let's move on. That's it for emails tonight. Let's move on to some more stories. Loki, you are up.
Yes. So this is once again an example of what not to do if you're making a fan game. So there has been this project, this GoldenEye 007 remake project that's been several years into development, GoldenEye 25. And apparently over the last few years, they've posted several screenshots, videos to social media. And what do you think happened? Oh, that's right. Yes, they got a cease and desist from MGM because they didn't have permission to make a fan game for GoldenEye 007. So, yep. So, unfortunately, they can't do a Bond game, but they can still do a great game with all of the 90s action shooter aspects. So, basically, what they're going to do is take what they did with GoldenEye and change it enough to be so not GoldenEye.
Change all the characters, make tweaks to the artwork, and release it as an original title. Kablam.
Yep.
Done.
There you go. Yep.
Yep. All right. So, and also, lesson learned, don't post about your potentially illegal and IP-infringing title on social media. Because sometimes some social media folks, like, they scan social media for certain things all the time. And 007 might be one of them that they're looking for, especially because there was a new movie we were supposed to have back in April, but, you know, it didn't happen. And I don't they didn't release that 007 movie, and I can't even remember the name in the moment.
Not yet.
But they didn't release that to the home services. They're still hoping they can do a theatrical release maybe next year, huh?
At least not yet. Yeah, they may change their mind.
Who knows? Well, if I feel like Disney was almost bullied into it with Mulan, like, and what they did, which I still don't love the whole subscribe to Disney Plus and pay a premium for Mulan, but I also understand it's probably cheaper than going to the movies, and some people will still pay it, especially those with kids. I don't have kids, so my perspective on this is maybe different, but... And it'll probably be free on Disney Plus eventually. It's just if I want to see it now, I'm going to have to pay more money. So, anyway. All right. Well, let's move on and let's talk about... So, this one has to do with hackers. And you know what we say around here. Hackers going to hack. They're going to find things. And in this case, hackers have found an official, of sorts, PlayStation 1 emulator for the PlayStation 4. So, in other words, they're trying to pretty much say... Sony could offer a PlayStation 1 emulator if they wanted to because it was embedded in the Medieval remaster that came out in 2019. The remaster of Medieval had the original game in it. And so hackers went in, got that emulator, and basically, you know, made it so that you can run it on a modified PlayStation 4, and you can play original PlayStation games at up to a 4K resolution. But, of course, there's a catch. It doesn't play everything cleanly. For example, there's some video out there of Konami's original Silent Hill game running on it, and some of the, like, the sprites have really light boxes around them, and some things don't work right.
It's the fog. A lot of the emulators have trouble with fog, even the official ones from Konami.
That's very true. So, it's also possible that this is used to run actual classic games available on PlayStation Store. I don't remember what PS1 games are on the PlayStation Store. Is Vib Ribbon PlayStation 4? Or was that on the 3? I can't even remember. It was so long ago now that they finally re-released Vib Ribbon in English. But yeah, I think that was on the 3. And the Vita. That's why it felt a little newer. And then, of course, we all know the PlayStation Classic came out in 2018. That was a thing that happened. And, of course, hackers were on that like that and got all the PlayStation 1s, and they worked a little better on that one. So, but it's interesting to see that the PlayStation 4, you know, obviously they would have to make some tweaks to get the other games to run right, but they could. I don't think many of us are surprised to hear that, especially when PlayStation 2 games were running very well on the PlayStation 4, especially, you know, like when they were selling things like Parappa the Rappa 2 and things like that. They play fine on the PlayStation 4, although I'm sure each and every one of those titles probably they had to test it and make sure it didn't have fog and those types of issues. So, but it's still interesting to see how hackers went in and grabbed that emulator, and now, you know, it's like an official emulator of sorts, even though it doesn't emulate everything yet perfectly. All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about bugs. So Red Dead Online, you may remember that there was protests and stuff to try to get updates to Red Dead Online. However, when they implemented the new update into the game, it broke a lot of stuff. So you had all sorts of crazy stuff like flying horses, raining alligators, stuff that you're not normally supposed to see in Red Dead Redemption. I think that's hilarious, but probably doesn't make for a great online experience. So because of that, they ended up walking back that patch 1.21, and yeah, no word on when it's going to be fixed yet, but that's kind of unfortunate that this had to happen. You'd think that they would have tested some more stuff, but mm-hmm. I guess not.
Yeah. Sounds like Red Dead Online keeps having these issues, and it's probably, I know it's been irritating you and a lot of people out there on the internet, because it's kind of like it's just making the game seem cheaper, and like this was supposed to be a much bigger and badder game than what the online components turned into, right?
They better watch out. Any buggier and Todd Howard's going to try to re-release it for the fifth time. So I don't know. Watch out.
Speaking of which, bugs and such, Bethesda, a quick follow-up to something we talked about on last week's show, Quake 2 was free on the launcher this week, and I think it might still be if Raginator is still out there listening somewhere. I think Quake 2 is still free on the Bethesda launcher, because I know Quake 3, which is like the superior Quake, it takes over, I think, tomorrow, and will be free on the Bethesda launcher for a week. So that's exciting, which is, I mean, I already own Quake 3 on Steam, because I think I bought it for like $5, probably like 10 years ago on Steam. But Quake 3 really is like the best Quake. It's a really fun PvP as well. So just a quick follow-up tip, since we were talking about buggy games, it made me remember. Oh, yeah, Bethesda. So, all right. Did you know, though? I didn't know this. The Bethesda launcher, since I've never really used it before, and this was... that ain't nothing for free, right? This is exactly what Bethesda wanted. I'm going to go in and look around the launcher and see what else is there. I didn't realize they put out like official Skyrim mod making tools, as well as Fallout 4, that like you can design your own quests and stuff.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. So they, I guess that I was just, one that
it I was never realized it was the same tool that they used to make quests that they put out official, which I thought was interesting.
So they did that in the sense that was back when they had those enhancements that they were adding to the game, the paid mods, basically. So the thing was, oh yeah, you can release your mods through the Bethesda storefront or whatever, and then also you could sell them. I think you could sell them as well through there as well. But I know then they turned to sell a lot of those mods as well through the storefront, and that's how you get, like, you know, where a skin in the game costs like $20. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous. But yeah, I know that stuff's available, but I'm sure that there's other tool sets out there that aren't official that work just as well, because there was lots of mods before that whole thing came out, so they had to do it somehow.
Yep. All right, well, moving on, Twitch Prime is no more, and that's because it's been rebranded. So Twitch Prime is now Prime Gaming, and that happened earlier this week where Amazon, who of course is over Twitch, rebranded all of the perks that you're used to getting with Twitch Prime under Prime Gaming. This is probably to come in line with services like Prime Video, Prime Reading, and Prime Gaming. Otherwise, they haven't really made a lot of changes to it. You still get your free subscription to a channel, which I would be a bad broadcaster if I didn't try to encourage you to use that free one right here at VOG Network, where you get access to our video archives to watch on demand whenever you want. If you can't be here on Sunday night, our subscribers, whether it's through the free Prime Gaming subscription or through a $5 sub, and I think the subs might actually be I saw that subs were discounted for first-timers. They might be running a free promotion right now, or not free, but like a promotion of sorts right now, so look into that, because I was checking that out before the show. But anyway, you get access to the full video archives. Of course, the podcast, the audio, still free as it's been for 18 years. We did not charge for anything that we were always giving away for free. That is staying free. So anyway, yeah, so Prime Gaming is it now. That's the one that gets you some game perks as well and some stuff in games. I can't say we're all going to be quick to remember this rebranding, and I'm probably still going to say Twitch Prime, your Twitch Prime account and all that, because I've just, you say one thing for so many years, it takes a little while to get used to it. I'm sure there'll be a lot of broadcasters in the same boat, but that's just part of the switch there.
You know what we mean.
Exactly. You know what we mean. ActDev says, yeah, there's a promotion, I think, and streamers get more for Prime subs. Oh, is that true? Well, then you should really consider using that one. I have to try. I'm a bad broadcaster if I know. But you know what? Hey, if you don't even give us a dime, that is okay, too. I understand. Especially in these times, money is hard to come by. But we do use money to make improvements to the show, and there'll be more coming later on. So. All right, yeah. SSGO100 Matt says, how many times did we say All Games Radio by accident after moving to VOG? Or how many times did I say, and you can join our chat at GameSurge or whatever, or live.vognetwork.com. I still say that just out of habit.
Mailbag
at orangelaundryradio.com, which is the old email. Don't use it. It'll bounce. Participate at orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send those emails. All right. Let's move on. Some more things before we get to our listener roundtable. Loki.
Yes. So, you know, it seems like there's so many little mini arcade cabinets coming out. I can't keep track of all of them. Well, now there's another Neo Geo arcade home machine. So this is not quite the super mini one that they had, but this is more of like your arcade one-up bar top type cabinets. So it's going to run $500. However, unlike you would get with, say, an arcade one-up cabinet, there's going to be a few more games in there, 50 games total. So all your favorites from the SNK and the Neo Geo. And they also have a stand you can get as well that kind of turns into an upright cabinet, although it looks kind of strange. But still pretty slick looking. And the stand itself is an extra $50. That's not bad.
Yeah. I have to say I'm kind of interested. One person that's not interested in our chat room, Bobby Blackwolf, who says, I was excited about this until I saw it did not have Bust-A-Move. That was literally the only game I was interested in. Yeah, I love that game, but there's other games that SNK did that I'd be okay with. So it does sound very interesting to me. SG100 Matt says, I like this Neo Geo cab. ActDev says, I really love the Neo Geo cab. And SJ100 Matt says, it's an SNK fighting gamer's dream. You know, they had that other little Neo Geo cab not that long ago. And so it's interesting that they're kind of doing another one that's just bigger and a little more inspired by the arcade 1-Up stuff.
As long as I could put it into like a 4-game mode or whatever that has it cycle through those like it used to with the arcade cabinet that used to be in the grocery store I used to go to. And it used to have like Baseball Stars, Magician Lord, and I want to say Metal Slug in there.
Probably Metal Slug.
I think it was also like Art of Fatal Fury or something in there.
I can't think of the game in the moment. There was another puzzle game. So you may be angry about Bust a Move not being there.
Puzzle de Pawn. I love that
game. Is that it? Puzzle de Pawn, where you pull the balls down and you throw the balls back up in the matching colors? That's Puzzle de Pawn?
Puzzle de Pawn is kind of like a Bust a Move sort of thing. But that was the one that I used to play all the time.
There's one where you, I can't remember the name in the moment. You pull the balls down and then you go run over to the column with the matching ones and throw them back up. And I can't remember the name of it, but that was an SNK one too.
I don't know what that one was. But yeah, the one I used to play that was like Bust a Move was Puzzle de Pawn.
Okay. And is that on the cab?
No, there's not very many.
Thank you, Dark Tetsuya. Magical Drop. That's it. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya.
Magical Drop, yeah, it's mostly, it looks like it's mostly fighting games, Metal Slug, and they have a couple like sports games on there. So Baseball Stars, Football Frenzy, Players Golf, and Super Sidekicks. But the most of it is looks like just fighting. In fact, I'd say 90% of it is fighting games. Kind of disappointing. I mean, I get it, but like I would hope that there's more of a variety of stuff. Maybe because maybe a lot of that's third party. I don't know. I'm just used to my Pandora's box, but I have a not quite legit multi-cart that now Bobby owns that had like a ton of like games on there. Puzzle de Pawn was one I did play on there. One of the first games I played on my arcade cabinet.
Nice. All right, one more story for you guys, and it's about an event for next year already making changes because of, you know, potentially COVID and related things. And it's the Game Developers Conference, or GDC. Number one, they've pushed it way back. So GDC next year is going to be in July, July 19th through 23rd. That's after E3. That's not where they're usually at. GDC was usually a March thing, if I remember right. So they're pushing it way back for next year. So they must really be banking on, you know, there's going to be a vaccine or something. But even with all that, they're saying it's going to be a scaled down edition of the live show. They will have it at the Moscone Center in San Francisco, where they usually have it, but there will also be an online showcase. So it's going to be a little bit of a hybrid event. There's going to be publishers and developers showing things online as well as face to face. There's no official comment that this is because of COVID. That's kind of what's being inferred. People are assuming that, you know, there might still be issues related to COVID, or maybe we just won't be ready for the gigantic crowds at that point, you know, because it's going to take time to get a lot of people vaccinated. And then there's going to be people that aren't going to get vaccinated because they're going to be like, oh, it's inserting a microchip in my brain and all this stuff. Whatever. Anyway, so, you know, it's going to take a little time, probably. You know, these huge events are going to be the last thing to come back. So I can see why they're kind of, you know, doing a little bit of both. So it also makes sense that if things were to happen and things were still in a bad place, I mean, heaven forbid, but if things were still in a bad place in July of next year, they would have the digital thing to fall back on. So there's that too. Pixelpacas points out this year's GDC was a few weeks ago fully online. The system worked pretty well, but wasn't great for networking, in my opinion. That comment from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I didn't realize they even finally had it online. A lot of these digital events aren't promoting very well. But then again, I'm also not the audience for GDC. Pixelpacas is the audience for GDC. I'm not. So that might be why. So, but it's interesting. A few weeks ago would be around the same time frame, end of July. So there is that. Let's see. There will still be master classes that GDC is going to do virtually for the rest of 2020. They are courses that are intended to tutor devs on various aspects of game design. And there'll be more info on that over the coming weeks. So again, GDC next year, July 19th through the 23rd. Hopefully in person and online. We're going to cross our fingers and our toes. I can't imagine another year of this. I think that people are just, I mean, it's already happening where people are like, I can't do this quarantine thing anymore. I'm just going to let go and let God. And who cares who I put at risk? And I, that's only going to get worse the longer this goes on. So fingers and toes crossed that they have a miracle on the vaccine front. That's for sure. All right. Well, at this point, we're going to open up the chat for any topics that we might have missed throughout the show. I know we're a little early tonight, but that also happens when we're down a host and Dark Soccer is not here tonight. I will, in the meantime, look to Loki to see if we have any last minute stories tonight. But if you have something you want to ask or have us talk about, please go to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Okay. So let's see. Yeah, we've got there's a Tekken Tachidan Drummond Fun. Apparently, esports tournament mode, which is going to be launching on August 19th. So that's cool.
Is that the PS4 version?
I don't know if that is or it sounds like it's for the Switch.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming in Japan, but yeah, that's pretty cool that they have like an esports mode to that. Let's see what else we got. They're making a new G.I. Joe game. So G.I. Joe Operation Blackout. It's coming out on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. That's out of nowhere. Hmm. Is that going to be based off of the game? Or hopefully, oh God, I hope they're not making another movie. That looks not great. Can I get a remake of like an NES or Super NES game or arcade game? I think that'd be better. Wow, this looks generic as hell. Actually, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Far Cry Blood Dragon because it's all neon the hell out. That's what it really looks like. That's a game we need a sequel to.
Dark Tetsuya in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I picked up Cosmic Star Heroine on the Switch. It was on sale for super cheap. It feels heavily inspired by the Square Enix classic Chrono Trigger. I highly recommend it. Questbuster says, LOL, I saw the trailer for the G.I. Joe game. It just came out of nowhere and isn't based on anything upcoming as far as I know. They just want to sell more toys.
So I forwarded my wife some videos of there's a YouTuber that does fake Animal Crossing quality of life update announcement videos.
Oh yeah, I saw it. Yeah,
just angers the hell out of me because I'm like, why don't they have that?
Oh yeah,
there's so much like just watching her play it. Like, I don't know what the hell they're thinking sometimes with just the way to design it stuff. Like some of the issues, like especially like with digging a hole or something like that, and you're trying to line up the right spot, and if that's been a problem for like. Since the beginning, and why hasn't that been fixed? Like some of the stuff you don't really think about because you're like, oh, Animal Crossing is fun. Look at all the new stuff that they added. But it's like, oh my God, there's so much that could be improved with that.
There's a great, I think it's a TikTok or something like that, that Alan showed me. And I think he posted it on your wife's page. Just wait till I don't have Facebook anymore. So I don't know, but I think he posted it on your wife's page. It was this guy and he like is like trying to aim the shovel and then he goes and boom, he knocks over the table.
I did that. Yeah. That's Gus Johnson. So yeah, really funny YouTuber. But yeah, he does these little short videos. But that was one that I posted on her wall. But yeah, that's hilarious, and it perfectly illustrates Animal Crossing sometimes. Just because some of the things we're trying to do, like she's trying to build a staircase between the two of the buildings in the game, and for whatever reason, it just would not let her do it. It's like, sorry, there's not enough space to. I don't know, this cliff doesn't look even enough. Where are we gonna put stairs here? It's like right there. It's like, why won't you work?
Bobby in chat says they don't consider it broken. That's why they haven't fixed it. That's Animal Crossing has sold almost more than any other Switch game at this point. So what's their motivation to fix it? There's a fall update coming. Maybe some things will be addressed, but I'm not gonna hold my breath.
Like just some quality of life stuff. Like, and the stuff that was in those videos wasn't like ridiculous things. It was like, hey, you know what? Say you want to craft two of something, you can select the quantity. Or like, how about, the ability
crafting
to see
from your storage
where you're aiming, just a crafting from your storage, like not ridiculous things, like things that I would see without having any knowledge of how they construct that game that shouldn't be too hard to implement. Like, I get it that you're not going to be able to do everything that everybody wants, but like some of the stuff isn't unreasonable. And when make things a little bit better.
Let me ask this related question. So obviously your wife is still playing Animal Crossing. Are you?
I did the other day just to, because I have, you know, the online access. So I did to download some designs. Unfortunately, my youngest son was the one that played the game first. So he is running the town.
Oh, yeah,
and also right. I had to play the other day because he made my birthday August 9th for some reason. So, so I had to do my birthday stuff.
He got the nine, right? Kind of. It's just the month.
Sort of close. So I had to do the, birthday stuff, you know, for that. But yeah, no, it is a night. I don't know. I did it, today. Maybe she just time traveling. I don't remember, but yeah. So I had to do the birthday stuff really. And, yeah. And then the download the patterns off the internet. So we were downloading some patterns so she can trick it out and stuff. But yeah, it's, I don't really play it.
Bobby is putting several comments in chat, essentially summarizing. If you haven't seen the code is coded, then you don't know if it's easy or not to fix. And, you know, maybe Nintendo. I think the thing is people are spoiled. You know, and we say this a lot. Perception is everything, right? So what you're saying, those are probably the facts. You know, the fact they likely are the facts. But perception is everything. And when other games do these quality of life things, they do online in a different way, or they do the regular updates, they do such and such things, it kind of, that's why people go, well, why can't Nintendo just do it this way because other companies are doing it? And I'm not saying I disagree with what you're saying, but it's just like that perception is very, very big, is that other game companies do make it look easy sometimes, and probably because they do see the benefit in putting the resources into it. I don't think everything on the wish list, you know, there are some things in there where even I'm like, well, that's going to be really hard for them to go back and do. But I think there's a few things in there that, again, other games made it look easy, but I guess we don't really know because we can't see Nintendo's code.
Just seeing where you're aiming. Obviously, the game is doing some sort of ray cast calculation for where you're aiming your shovel or whatever it is, item, trying to put it down, stuff like that. And I mean, obviously, it's figuring out which space it's going in because it already knows when you put it down or do it, you know, dig or whatever. Just show that, display it. I mean, I don't see why that would be a problem, but I get it. I mean, that's fine. Whatever they're going to do, the game's selling well, so I guess maybe they're not motivated to improve it more like that. We'll see what
we'll see what the fall update has, because you know, there are still changes coming, and everything that we've gotten so far has been more of like a small event. Like, or they've been patching in a holiday or patching this thing, but this fall event, they're kind of teasing us a bigger thing. So we might, I mean, I don't want to set false expectations. I'm not going to put the bar too high, but we might get some of it in the fall update. Maybe the low hanging fruit, so to speak, of this code that we can't see. All right. SG100 Matt says, Def Jam has been teasing a new or remake of Def Jam Vendetta or Fight for New York. They tweeted out the other day that if they hit 1 million on their Twitter, they will have a special announcement with a picture of Vendetta. Interesting. Pixel Paca says, did they ever post the follow-up? Because they've had 1 million followers for days. Well, we're waiting. Probably check back Monday. It is the weekend after all. So, all right. Any other last-minute stories, Logie?
No, that's all I had.
All right. Then I think we'll go ahead and wrap things up for the night. Thank you guys so much for tuning into our show, whether you were here live or you were on our podcast. We really appreciate you participating with our show. Send us an email. Say hello to us that way. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We're also on social media, on Twitter, over at OLR. We'll be back in 7 days to do this all over again. If you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word, we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to put out on air, we're missing that. So tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. An auto host on Twitch goes a real long way. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this podcast, those go a long way as well. We really appreciate those word of mouth things. That all being said, let's wrap up and get final thoughts. Dark Sakura will be here next week. We'll see you guys then. with Jamie and whatever should happen in the industry this week. Maybe we'll get some big announcements about these consoles. Who knows? Or maybe we'll have more reasons to come back and say, you know what? Fuck you and fuck you and fuck you. We'll see what happens. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I'm going to keep working on making something or learning more stuff. I don't know. But
sounds good.
I'm going to keep working on stuff. Technically, I made something that technically is a game, but technically it's such a short following a tutorial that I don't really count that. So,
well, it's something. Even if you got to start really, somewhere. It's one little step. Yay. All right. So. Cool. All right, my final thought. I don't have a lot. You know, good luck to Bobby with Summer Games Done Quick, and looking forward to Virtual Dragon Con as well. Let's just keep wearing our masks and social distance and do everything we can to try to lessen the spread of COVID so we can get back to real life and events like GDC and all the other things we miss, where 2020's just kind of ruined all of that. Stay cool and stay hydrated, especially those of you in California. This heat wave is going to get worse. Tuesday is going to be real bad. The number keeps going up and down. It was at 114 at one point, and I was like, ugh. What the fuck? But I think it's down to like 109. I think this cloud and the rains and all the stuff that's happened maybe put it down. But that's yikes. So anyway, stay hydrated. Because seriously, like I was out at like 8 in the morning. I was doing my cemetery portal scanning I talked about a couple weeks ago on the show. And I, by like 9:30, I was done and I was already feeling a little bit like, why am I just so exhausted? I had to drink a lot of water. So, I've been trying to be real good about my walking, but I'm going to take a break for a few days. I have to, it's just too damn hot. So stay inside, play some video games. That'll be fun too. So we will see you next week, everybody. Good night. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.